Good evening. I would like to call to order the meeting of the Property and Development Committee. Could we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, can we please have roll call?
Jessica Berrios Perez.
Here.
Robert Heider. Amy Petanici.
Here.
The record should reflect that you have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay. Item four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of agenda. Any additions, deletions?
No.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Any discussion? I second it. There's only two of us here tonight. I second it. Any discussions? Okay. Next, is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak? Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak? Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak? Hearing no one from the public, that portion is closed. Item number six, we are going to table this item for approval of minutes from the January 25th meeting.
Make a motion.
I second it. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that is moved. So next meeting for approval of minutes. Item number seven, presentation by Sterling Opera House Commission.
Good evening, Madam Chair. Gino DiGiovanni with the Sterling Opera House Commission. I just want to say thank you for allowing us tonight to put forth a presentation for the Opera House Commission to restore the Derby, the Sterling Opera House. I would like to present Dave Condon. He's going to do the presentation tonight. And if you would like, we'll go through the presentation, whatever your pleasure is, and then we could do questions at the end, however you see fit. Oh, okay, great. Thank you, Dave.
Okay. Is the presentation up there?
Be up in a minute.
Okay.
Give me a second.
Technology is a wonderful thing when it works. Okay, let's see if the remote works. And it does, except we have a header up there. So this is a presentation that I put together for the commission. I'm a newly elected member of the commission. And as we go through this, I'll give you an overview of what the project is. I did this in a presentation in light of a regular theatrical performance. So the cast is the project coordinator, which is DNS Associates. That's Diversified Nonprofit Services. That's the company that I own. And the remote's not working. All right, Mark, you got to hit it, I guess. It's not working.
There it goes.
Okay. The team is the Sterling Opera House Commission. The supporting roles are the mayor and the Board of Aldermen. And the architect, which will be yet to be determined. And finally, the audience, which is the people of Derby, the Valley, and all those who love theater. So let me tell you a little bit about Diversified Nonprofit Services. I founded Diversified Nonprofit Services in 1985. And it's a company that has worked with charities all over the United States. Last year, we hit $1.2 billion raised for charitable endeavors, mostly construction of Boys and Girls Clubs, theaters, schools, whatever needs in that vein. It's a closely held company. I founded it. My wife's the president, and my daughter's going to take it over when I retire. So you're dealing with the principles of the company. We've worked with hundreds of organizations in terms of strategic planning, including Mr. Sill in the Derby Public School System in George. We did that a number of years back, which was quite successful. We have trained thousands of nonprofits and board members and volunteers. And what's important about this is we have agreed to donate our services for the first 2.5 years of the project to set the project up. Let me tell you what that means. I'm doing a project right now in New York City, in Mount Vernon, rather, with Denzel Washington. And that project, they hired us to do that project. Their cost is $395,000. And that includes the campaign. The first phases of that project were the actual planning phases, which we're getting into now with the Sterling. The value for that was $225,000. We're donating that. We're going to do the whole thing pro bono up to the campaign. And then when we get to the campaign, you could go ahead and bid it out. But we've already made a decision that we will discount our fee to do the campaign by 50%. So you're looking at a very small payment at the end of the thing when we actually go to raise the money. But for the first 2 years that we're going to be doing the planning, there's no cost to the city and there's no cost to the commission. Why is this delaying? So why would I do this? In 1971, I was a teacher in the Derby Public School System, and Angelo Dorenzo assigned me to be the liaison with the school with the Derby Tercentennial Celebration, and somehow I became one of the chairs of the Derby Tercentennial Celebration with my cousin Frank Ogle. We worked on that for 4 years, and we conducted one of the biggest civic celebrations in the history of the state of Connecticut, a 10-day celebration. The Board of Aldermen gave us $15,000 to do the celebration. We did a $255,000 celebration, and we returned $115,000 to the city of Derby. It was, for those of you that are old enough to remember it, it was probably one of the highlights for Derby in all the years that Derby existed. And we had a great bunch of fun. And one day I walked into the Sterling Opera House and I fell in love with it. It's a treasure. And it's a treasure that has lain tarnished since 1944. And right now it can be looked at as a liability to the city. It's just sitting there and it's rotting away, although they did do to make it weathertight. But I've loved Derby my whole life. You see this guy sitting here, Tom Backlick? He and I do everything together. We went to high school together, 1966. I know we don't look that old, but we graduated in 1966.
He's actually older.
No, he's older than me by 6 months. But here's what I wanted to tell you. If we don't do this now, it's not going to get done. We've talked about it forever. I have approached every mayor since Tony Staffieri and said, I will do this for free. And not one of them have ever taken me up on it. So when the commission was formed, I went to them and I said, I'll do it for free. And whether they were in the right mind or not, they agreed to have me help them with it. So it's a really, really important project for me individually. I don't live in Derby anymore. I live in West Haven. I lived in Derby virtually my whole life, except for 10 years that I ran a mental institution for children. That's how I started DNS. I was severely injured by one of my patients, was forced to retire, and walked away from my doctorate in clinical child psychology and started a fundraising company, try to figure that one out. So it's very, very important to me, my wife, and my family that we want to be a part of this, and we want to lead the charge in Derby to make sure this happens. So let's talk about the Sterling Opera House, because it's something that we can all be proud of. And that we can be proud of again. I'm going to refer to my notes here. Yeah, hang on. There you go. In 1889, Derby hired an architect named Henry Edward Fickens, who was one of the designers for Carnegie Hall. The only two theaters he ever built in his life were the Sterling Opera House and Carnegie Hall. And that's saying a lot. For those of you who know about Carnegie Hall, I also played in the Connecticut Hurricanes for 16 years, and we actually got to perform there in 1963. It's one of the most famous concert halls in the entire world. That's who designed our theater. That's an amazing statement, because he only did two theaters in his career. It's a 1,200-seat state-of-the-art theater, which opened in 1889. The building is so striking, it was the first building in all of Connecticut to be added to the National Historic Register of Historic Places, and that was in November 8th, 1968. Some of the people who performed there were Henry Houdini, Red Skelton, George Burns, Gracie Allen, Milton Berle, Bob Hope, and Bing Crosby. The theater features a large auditorium with a striking proscenium arch framing the stage. The Sterling seating arrangement allows every member of the audience, no matter where you're sitting, to have an unobstructed view of the stage. Its acoustics rival only those of the Metropolitan Opera House. So what does that mean? When Yale did a study on the Sterling years ago, they found that it has perfect acoustics. That means you can stand on the stage and talk in a normal voice, and somebody at the back of the third balcony can hear you perfectly. They did all the kind of testing that needs to be done. Several years ago, Harry Connick Jr., a year or so ago, Harry Connick Jr. came and sang Amazing Grace there, playing one of the original pianos. And he moved around the theater because he could not believe the acoustics in the theater. So he sang in the balcony, he sang on the stage, he sang in the proscenium, he sang in the orchestra, and the acoustics were perfect. That's something that no other theater has. So there's an organization called the National Organization for the Preservation and Restoration of Historic Theaters. And what they've shown is that in communities where historic theaters have been restored, the return on investment to the community is $2 to $3 per dollar spent on tickets. So let's say, and nobody buys a ticket for $75 anymore. You can't go to the movies for $75. So let's just use $75 as an average ticket price. There's 1,200 seats. If you sold it out, that'd be $90,000 in ticket sales. That would generate $250,000 per performance to return on investment to the city of Derby in terms of people eating in restaurants, drinking in bars, shopping if we get our shopping back, parking, all those things. So it's a financial windfall for the city, as well as a cultural one. The theater, when restored, will make Derby into a destination city for theater goers. It will simulate restaurant growth, jobs, bar income, parking, and eventually through redevelopment, retail sales focused on the arts and culture. You don't want to believe me, go to Iverton and see the theater there. See the Goodspeed Opera House. See some of the historic theaters in Connecticut that have been restored that are a fraction of the size and the caliber of the Sterling Opera House. So I took my wife to the Goodspeed Theater a year ago. It cost me $145 a ticket. I spent about $200 on dinner at the Galt House. And it's not as good a theater as the Sterling. It's a small theater. The Sterling has everything that we need. So let's talk about the project, funding opportunities and budget. The commission will eventually have to form its own 501c3 organization. For those of you that don't understand that, a 501c3 organization is formulated under the nonprofit laws of the United States, which will allow us to grant tax deductions for contributions to the restoration of the theater. It will also allow us to operate tax exempt. It will also allow us to benefit from purchase of goods and services that only nonprofits can purchase. We're going to make an application. I've already spoken to Sharon Closius from the Valley Community Foundation. We'll be making an application to the Community Foundation to request funding for a grant writing position for the project. So you know, my company has already done the grant research for the project. We uncovered almost 100 foundations that will help fund the restoration of the theater. I'm just going to go through these. Yeah, okay. We'll develop a preliminary budget for the planning process. We need to ensure secure an insurance rider so we indemnify the city for granting commission the commission access to the theater. We have to have access to the theater, and we have to have it on an at-will basis because we have to get in and out of there. We also have to secure it. Right now, it's not a secure facility. Even though there's locks on the doors, people are breaking in. There's stuff in there that we don't want taken. We don't want destroyed. And so somebody's got to take responsibility. The commission is willing to take that responsibility, but we need the city to grant us at-will access to the theater building. What we'll try to do is get an insurance policy that will indemnify the city when we're in there. And it won't be open to the public. It'll just be open to the tradesmen and the researchers that we have to get in there to do this. We've developed priorities for use of state funding currently being administered by the Center State Theater. The state has already granted $100,000 to do an assessment of the theater project. And because the commission is not sanctioned as an operating theater entity, it's being handled by the Center State Theater in Shelton. We'll be partnering with them. At our last meeting, their executive director came and spoke about how we could work together to make sure that money is available. We need to secure aldermanic approval for the project because we can't do it without your approval. We will identify some special events that will showcase the theater and serve to raise initial funding. I worked in a theater project in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and before it was actually open, we did a Phantom of the Opera ball. Everybody said, it's crazy, nobody will come. It's a stupid idea. This is the 30th year of that ball. It raises about $500,000 a year. And what we did is we took one of the old organs and we actually set the whole theater up like the Phantom of the Opera. We're going to meet with local legislators and help us in submission of state bonding grant applications to seed phases 1 and 2. We know we will get state money. And there's money available now, both federally for theater restoration, but we have to be a sanctioned organization in order to do that. And then when we do the foundation list, when we review it, we will take responsibility for helping write the foundations along with the grant writer from the Valley Community Foundation. So let's go to... So facility analysis, projected immediate needs. We have to petition the Board of Aldermen for immediate and ongoing access to the property on an at-will basis. We have to set up with Robert Pfaffman and Associates, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to create initial architectural overview of the restoration of the entire building. We're currently shooting for, it says February here, but we've moved it back to April. Let me tell you who Robert Pfaffman is. The project I'm doing in New York with Denzel Washington is a $40 million project. Robert Pfaffman is the architect for that project. He's restored the August Wilson House in Pittsburgh and done a number of historic restorations all over the United States. I asked him as a favor to come for free, pro bono, to tour the building and give us an estimation of what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and a punch list so we can use as guidance for when we're bidding this thing. He has agreed to do it. The only expense will be me taking him to a good Italian restaurant in New Haven because he lives in Pittsburgh, but he'll be flying out to Mount Vernon. I was with him in Denzel on Monday all day. We were working on that project. We have to evaluate the current status of the building floor by floor and determine the scope of repairs needed to restore the entire building. The lower floors can be utilized. The old aldermanic chambers are still intact. The jail in the basement is still intact. We can take those areas and make them into revenue stream areas, whether we outfit them as offices or restaurants or whatever we need to do. We need to dictate a sequence of work that needs to be completed immediately to ensure that there's no further deterioration and to preserve the historical artifacts. And those artifacts are amazing. They're billboards and things from people that worked on it. We have to develop a timeline for the initiation of the construction formula, and we have to determine what the ADA requirements are. We will have to make the building conform to ADA. So... facility analysis and projected needs, construction formula, development of initial floor plans, analyze potential tenants for the completed space on the lower levels, the theater's role in redevelopment. Hopefully this will serve as the stimulus and be the anchor to the north end of Elizabeth Street to start restoring Elizabeth Street and the green, because we anticipate we could do an amphitheater on the green for outdoor theatrical performances, move down Elizabeth Street toward the new construction on the roads here, and then eventually to the waterfront. And the theater would serve as the anchor tenant for all of that. So let's talk about what could be. For those of you that haven't seen it in a long time, this is the Sterling today. Why don't you take a look at that? The bones are still there. They're dirty. They need repair. They need refurbishing. But the heart of the theater is still there. So let's talk about what could be. This is the theater in Champaign, Illinois. Those of you that remember Roger Ebert, who was a film critic, I worked with him on the restoration of this theater. This is the Virginia Theater, completely restored. It was an old movie house, and now it's an active performing arts. And that's Roger, a statue of Roger on the bottom. After he passed away, they put a statue. But let's look at what could happen, the before and the after. This is the Sun Theater in St. Louis, Missouri. Look at it on the left. That's in 10 times worse shape than the Sterling Opera House. Look at the picture on the right. That's restored. Look at the picture on the bottom of the left. That's before. Look at the picture on the right. That theater was a disaster. They almost condemned it. But that's what it could be brought back to. And that's what could happen with the Sterling. This is the Apple Tower Theater. And this is the Boston Opera House. Look again at the considerable damage in those theaters that does not exist in the Sterling, and how they look when restored. So, the cornerstone of making Derby a destination city. Stage one would be restore the Opera House and improve the Derby Green as an ancillary event space. Stage two would be development and restoration of Elizabeth Street from Main Street north to the theater. And stage three would be redevelopment of the waterfront to make that a destination port, similar to Waterfront Village, Port Jefferson, Savannah, Georgia, Mystic Village, London Heritage Park. All of those are areas that had a decaying waterfront and a dying downtown. And it was completely turned around by taking advantage of it. People don't realize that the Derby waterfront in history was a bigger waterfront, a bigger port than New Haven. And the ships would come up the river and pick up the Sterling Opera House pianos, the Sterling pianos from the Sterling Piano Company. That's how the Sterling got its name. The guy put up the money for it. And textiles and all kinds of things. This was a bustling seaport. People don't remember it. We could still, some of that river has been dredged. I used to bring my boat all the way up to the Derby Dam, and I had a 37-foot boat. So you can still bring a lot of things in. And if you look at what goes on in Port Jefferson, they took a dying community and made it a thriving community. I was just there in December for their Dickens days, for Charles Dickens. So the final question is not whether we can afford to restore the Sterling Opera House. The real question is, can we afford not to? Because if we don't do it now, it won't get done. In the early 2000s, somebody paid for a very extensive study to determine what it would cost to restore the Sterling. The figure was what, $10 million, $11 million? $11 million. Right now, it's going to cost us $15 to $20. Wait another year, it's going to cost you $20 to $25. Wait 2 years and you're never going to be able to afford to do it. You might as well tear it down, except you can't tear it down because it's on the National Historic Register. So you're stuck with it either the way it is or making a difference. I will openly, I want to thank you for listening to me, and I'm glad we got to promote the work. And any questions you have, I'll try the best I can to answer them. or if I've done such a wonderful job and you have no questions.
My question is, so overall, what do you think, timeline-wise, a project like this, how long do you think
it 3 to 4 years. Okay. It'll be 2 years in the planning stages and in the bidding process and getting the designs done. And because we have to get into the building and really, we have to get behind the walls. We got to look at what's going on. So you're looking at 2 years in the planning stages. The end of the second year, we'd actually start to develop the fundraising program, the capital. And it would be a capital endowment campaign, by the way. You couldn't run a capital campaign straight for this. You'd have to run a capital endowment campaign because if it costs you $20 million to restore it, we have to raise $25 to $30 million because we need $5 to $10 million to invest in an endowment, an operating endowment, so we can be sure we can operate the thing. So a campaign of that size is kind of interesting. Depending upon who we get involved, it could be as short as 18 months to 2 years. If we don't get the right people involved, you're probably looking at 36 months. Our average campaign of $20 million and above is 36 months. We did a big campaign in New York for the Madison Square Boys and Girls Club. That was $95 million. That took 6 years. Oh, a capital campaign is a very specific game plan where we put a committee together of all volunteers. There's led by a company like mine that targets individual contributions, federal money, state money, and foundation money. My belief is we probably could do 30 to 50% of the total project from foundations and some federal and government money. If we hit it right, there's a national organization that funds historic theater preservation and restoration. I would start to work on them right away to determine how much they would be able to provide us with and how we would have to apply for that money. That can be done preliminarily. Once we know we're going to do it and the commission's been recognized and the 501c3 has been certified by the federal government, then we could go out. We can start to go after that money before we actually get to the building phases of the project. Any other questions? I just wowed you, huh? So, all right. If there's no other questions, I'm sure you'll have them down the road. I'd be more than happy to answer them. Thank you for your time and attention. Appreciate it.
Madam Chair, I just want to say thank you very much for having us tonight to do this presentation. Also, at the same time, we have tremendous support behind us through the state representatives. The state has been involved with some money already, and especially the people here in town are really supportive. And with no other questions, I'd like to just say thank you, and hopefully you could get us to the next level sooner than possible so that we could move forward with some irons in the fire that we already have. So thank you once again for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you all for your presentation, and restoring the Opera House would be an amazing thing for the city. So appreciate the presentation. Thank you.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Yes.
Just briefly. My name is Brian Capola, co-chair of the... Getting our 501c is all important in moving forward and getting this timeline to the most efficient timeline possible. So in order to do that, we need to get our ordinance approved. So I was just hoping that we could appease you, the subcommittee, to go to the full committee to get that approval.
Okay. And do we have a copy of the ordinance that's been given to Corporation Council or?
Well, I appreciate Brian asking that it go to the Board of Aldermen. I think we've got to get a copy of it so we can take a look at it. And
you should have a copy on the record. Yeah, you
need some. Well, I didn't. I can tell you it. That.
Well, we'll make sure we get that.
Yeah, thank you.
I haven't seen it either. And maybe it went to a previous board. Did it go to the previous board, Alder?
We'll get that to you,
right? Okay. Thank you.
It was emailed
to everybody. Who made all that?
I did.
wasn't sent to the
Under the ordinance, we have.
I don't think so.
Mark, do you have it?
Yeah.
All right.
I sent it to you.
Okay.
It was sent. I didn't alter it. We've got edits from the Board of Aldermen subcommittee, and then we've got green, red, and yellow highlighted, added, removed, or noted.
I'm the subcommittee.
You're the committee.
All I was sent was a. Sorry.
I don't have this.
I was sent a PDF. So.
Okay. So I sent that to you right away. I believe that someone from your subcommittee did start with edits and recommendations. So we've
got to assume it was Rob since he's the only one who's here.
Probably. Well, let's blame Rob. Absolutely. He's not here, so we'll go with that.
We'll send you that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
By the way, I should have mentioned that the reason I'm willing to do this is my last project is the one I'm doing with myself. So I'm retiring and turning something over to my daughter. So I'm going to have all the time in the world to work on this and be a big pain in the ass to everybody.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay, so we'll get a copy of that over for review. We'll see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, next item on the agenda, lease with State of Connecticut for the Derby train station, discussion and possible recommendation to the full board of Alderman Alderwomen on future of the lease. I was going to ask that we table this to another meeting, but if you would like to, no?
So, if I may,
you may.
You recall at the Board of Aldermen meeting, I was asking that, first of all, City of Derby does not have a current lease. We are technically what is known as holdover tenants on a lease that has expired some time ago. So you start with that as the first building block. There is no lease. Now, to the extent we have rights as a holdover tenant, the State of Connecticut, the Office of Rails in the Department of Transportation is prepared to commence work, including, I believe, the remediation of certain parts of the property. And that work is commencing momentarily. And I think it might make sense for the city to get to give up possession, arguable possession of this site while the state is doing its work, because we're not in control, although we are holdover tenants. We actually, when we had a lease quite some time ago, assigned it to the VCOG, and the VCOG actually had possession of the railroad station. They voted, it's my understanding, to terminate their lease and to turn it back to the city. So my recommendation is to terminate this as quickly as possible so that we can basically get out of the state's way in terms of the remediation and the restoration of the train station. That's my recommendation. Because, and I would remind you, we don't have a lease. It's not like we're terminating a 20-year lease on this site. We are terminating a month-to-month tenancy. Think about it. If you rented a place and your lease expired and then you were on month-to-month, that's what we are. So for that reason, I would recommend that we send it on to the Board of Aldermen, as I recommended before, so we can terminate as quickly as possible. Now, some people are talking about what they would like to see and those sorts of things. That's all on the table. We could talk to the state. We can talk about getting into a really, we can do all of that. This is, they're not mutually exclusive. We could talk about when you're done with renovations, we would like to have a lease for this property. How do you feel about that? What are you doing? What are your plans for the renovations? We can do all of that and still get out of the way and get off the property and not have any potential legal liability as the in the chain, if you will, while their contractors are, that's the decision that VCOG made. They made the same decision that I'm recommending. So I would ask that the committee move to refer this back to the Board of Aldermen with a positive recommendation to terminate the month-to-month tenancy.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to terminate the month-to-month and move it to the full board?
Motion to move it to the full board.
Okay. I second it. Is there any discussion?
I'm chair.
Yes.
If you want to include in your motion to reserve that right for future use after the renovation, you could. I don't think there would be objection to that.
Okay.
And if that's what your intent is, then it's probably better to declare that so it's clear to the full board.
Then I would like to include in the motion made by Jess that we have ability to take part in future plans and what it will become in the future.
And seek a future lease with the Department of Transportation.
And seek a future lease with the Department of Transportation. There, it's all on record. Okay. Thank you. Okay, is there any other discussion? No, motion carries. Next item. Electric Power Sustainable Community Network presentation, discussion, and possible recommendation to full board.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd actually like to start with an email that Roger had sent out to most of the board about the fact that natural gas prices are set to jump another 12.5%. This is going to increase utility prices by another 12%. But the funny thing is that natural gas has actually gone down in value. And the only reason that it's going up again is because they're controlling the supply. And when they do this, that puts us all at the mercy of the utility just because they need to raise rates because the supply has decreased. This is something that never happens if you're producing your own power, like with the Sustainable Communities Network program. So I'd like to just start with that and then move on to my presentation. I believe we've actually had this presentation before together. That's so good to see you again. Council, we've talked about it in some detail over the conference call, and some of the other people in the room have actually heard this before as well. So I'll be relatively brief and answer any questions I can. First off, do I have a clicker for this, or should I just read off the? Do you have the presentation? Okay, let's just start there. A little bit about electric power. So we were founded in 2014 as a battery manufacturer. In 2019, we moved into a programmatic idea of becoming more involved in creating programs and installing batteries and software into those programs. Our company mission is panoramic, prudent, and parity. We want to be panoramic, all-encompassing. We want to be prudent, as in frugal, and we want to have parity, as in equality. So everybody is able to participate in the program. If you turn to this page, they're not numbered. I thought I'd have a deck, but it's okay. If you turn to this page here, we discuss what the program actually is. You are the community partner, so the city is the community partner, and then we roll out our program to everybody in the city through our marketing strategy and our personal outreach in partnership with the city. The homeowner wins because they get utility rates at 20% less than what they're currently paying. So if we just to give you a brief example, if we have a $100 utility bill, $50 is covered by solar, 50% of it is covered by solar, they would actually get 20% off that $50, saving $10 a month. Real simple math. So whatever the offset is of the solar, they would save 20% on that production, as opposed to the utility bill that is, as I just said, going up 12%. The other thing is that that's a locked in rate with slight escalations periodically throughout the year, but significantly less than what the utility's charging. And then of course, the community wins by having their ESG goals, energy, social, and governance rules, and strategy realized. And just if you turn to the page right after that, if you want to see the actual profit sharing of the city on this page here, you can see the profit sharing of the city. Do you have this presentation? It doesn't look like you all had the presentation. All right, I think I actually have a couple over here. Hold on, I'll give them.
So
if you turn to the page that goes to the profit sharing for the city of Derby, we're not just asking for your partnership and not providing anything in return. We actually have a chart here of an estimated revenue stream that would be generated by the project for the city of Derby for the period of time that we're in effect in our agreement with the homeowner. And you can see approximately through the 25 years, you'll make $1.3 million in revenue that is unrealized currently. If you turn the page, you'll see what our full program strategy looks like, our marketing outreach, system design, and PPA creation, which you all should have a copy of the PPA in your packet, because I believe I did see that. Permitting and installation, then ongoing operations. Simply put, it's a turnkey program. We take care of everything. We sign up the customer. We do the site visit for the customer. We maintain the customer. We do the installation. We do the billing. We do everything in partnership with the city. And if you'd like to see, there's a marketing overview on the next page. So we would start off with a direct mail campaign. I've been told before that you have a bill that you send out periodically to your homeowners. We could possibly piggyback on that and get out our flyer to everybody in the city. And of course, there's a slight charge for that I was told. Social media, signage, yard signs, sales collateral, membership in the Chamber of Commerce. I feel like I'm already a member of the Chamber of Commerce because I've come back here so many times. So I feel like I already know Derby a little bit. Radio advertisement, direct mail concepts, residential and direct mail lists, canvassing. And then finally, maybe working with HOAs and realtors and different events. You have some city-owned property that you already have access to that you personally own as the city. That could be a great place to start with the program as well. Lowering utility bills for the elderly community that you actually own. And then our timeline. So once we do get Board of Aldermen approval, then we would go to the next phase, which is finalization of operational models, review of marketing targets and expected rates, finalization of contracts, and then program kickoff. We're pretty much at the stage where we would do program kickoff because we've already given you the actual PPA. You've got the SEMPA, the Sustainable Communities Network Participation Agreement already. We've discussed with you what the marketing campaign would look like. And we're really at the phase where we would do the actual program kickoff. And of course, we can review any of those things that you may not have had access to yet. All right. So in light of that, I think that's it. Yeah. Any questions on anything I've said so far? I wish I had a little clicker like the other guy did, but I don't have a little clicker. So I, you know.
So I will make the motion to discuss this with the full board to get their opinions about this proposal that you're giving us.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I second that motion.
Thank you.
I just want to be clear, and I think I have this. You're asking the city of Derby to endorse your company and product. That's basically what you're asking the city to do.
In essence, more of a partnership because we're not talking about an exclusive, because endorsement implies exclusivity. anybody else can offer you the same program. So we're not looking for exclusivity in any way, shape.
What are you asking the city to do specifically?
Partner with us, allow us to use the city logo.
That's what I'm getting at. Yes. What does that mean?
So you can see I put your lovely logo on my flyer here.
I saw that.
We would love to put that on the flyer as well. We would love to call it the Power Up Derby program, like we do in Santa Barbara, like we would do in Washington, D.C., like we've done in other cities. So the actual name of the program would be Power Up Derby. And then we'd love to do joint marketing events with you. We'd love to do a joint press release with you, that kind of thing.
I know the answer to this, but I'm just doing this so that this would be the first community in Connecticut where you have tried this, right?
Yes. And you know that, but yes, this is.
Yes, I do know that. And I'm always uncomfortable when I hear that.
I knew that too.
You will be the first community in Connecticut, but by far the first community. We've done this in many other cities, including Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., you know, 12 cities in California. But as far as Connecticut, yes, this would be the first time.
Other than using our logo, I mean, and you're talking about joint marketing, what are the types of things you're asking the city to do? What do you mean by joint marketing? What do you want Derby to do and say about your company and your product and your microgrid?
Sure. Well, you have a 350-year celebration coming up. We would love to be part of it.
Okay.
You have, as I said, there's a flyer that goes out from the city to your, I think it's your water bill. We'd love to have a flyer in that and send it out to everybody that's in the city. Any kind of event that you do, we would love to be a part of. Anytime we mention the program, we'd like to say the City of Derby's Power Up Derby program. If somebody called City Hall, you would direct them to us, but you could also say, hey, we've reviewed the contract. It is what it says. Contact Electric Power for any questions.
See, those are the types of things that get me concerned as a lawyer.
Of course, because I said contract, well, and you're an attorney.
You got a power purchase agreement, and we are in effect endorsing, you're calling it partnership, but we're putting our seal of, you know, you're calling it Derby's power program. You're asking us to include literature with our tax bills that go out. You're asking us to maybe put something, I thought I heard in our conversation on our website. And you're asking,
we would create a landing page.
Exactly. Okay, fine. But it's going to spin off of ours. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So what I'm saying is I would like us to think about this carefully. I love what I heard in terms of their technology and their, you know, the battery and this. But the city, this city, and I think you'll find most cities in Connecticut, have not done this with respect to, certainly not with respect to this type of product. I'm talking about any product where we're doing this sort of thing in exchange for 5%.
5% of the revenues.
5% of the revenues. And I just, you know, send it to the full board for discussion. I think that makes all the sense in the world. But I wanted to get that all out on the table.
Yeah.
Because you can fall in love with the
money.
You can fall in love with the money, or you could fall in love with the product. I mean, it sounds fascinating what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I want us to be cautious and, you know, go slow here. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to answer any legal questions.
Well, I mean, I don't want to go too far down this road because you have a PPA agreement. It's your PPA agreement. It's a form PPA agreement. You're talking about a 25-year deal.
Correct.
25-year deal, right?
Correct.
Well, many times, I mean, solar technology might change. Solar panels get old. Things happen along the way. 5 years out, you have obsolete solar panels. What happens to the homeowner on Hawkins Street?
We're fully liable to make sure that everything's working and operational. And if there's a better panel out there that's going to increase revenue stream for the, you know, the project, obviously we would swap out those panels. I mean, you have to look at solar technology as itself, not huge leaps and bounds in photovoltaic technology.
But
itself.
Things change, and they do get obsolete. And yours is a long
sure.
That 25 years is a long deal.
And we're fully responsible for everything that happens to that system. So if for instance, as you said, it became obsolete and it was making more sense to switch over to a different panel, racking and installation is all we're looking at. We're not looking at a full, you know, makeover of the entire program. Anything happens with the battery, we're a battery manufacturer. We would make sure that battery works.
Anything happens with any of this part of the program, we would make sure it stays in compliance and works. That's part of the contract with the homeowner, not with the city.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
About the homeowners and the age of the roof, and what happens over that time period that the roofs are dilapidated, need to be replaced, but they have those solar panel top.
Well, if they had the panels on, they're actually better protected than they would be if they didn't have the panels on. But if something happened to the roof with the panels on them, like, I don't know, call it a tree hit the roof or something, then we would be responsible to go ahead and fix, after they fix the roof, we would go ahead and put the panels back on the home.
Is it going to cost the homeowner additional money with those, because those panels are on there? Or the repairs potentially?
De minimis. I can't think of why it would cost more. I mean, if a tree hits a roof, it's pretty catastrophic.
Roofs,
brand new roofs, you're right. They last probably about 25 years. But anybody that we're putting into the program, we're going to make sure that their roof is sound before we put panels on it. And in fact, there is money out there for, you know, homeowners that qualify to replace their roof as well. And there's an incentive to do that, because when you place solar panels on top of a roof, you can get added tax incentives to do that. So we would be interested in helping as many people as possible with roof repairs that were reasonable.
I believe that we had a motion to move it to the full board, and with Corporation Counsel's commentary, we will.
You can move it to the full board with no recommendation.
Okay. We will move it to the. Move forward with the motion to move it forward to the full board of aldermen.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
You need to vote.
We did. I thought we did. I thought we did before I went to you. Did we not?
We did.
Okay, we did. Okay.
Okay, good. Woo. All right. So, something?
That's what I was afraid of.
Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe we missed it. We'll go back and do it again. We were making a motion to bring it to the full board with no recommendation. Just made the motion. I seconded it. We all in favor. So we think we're good, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, good. And I am going to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion on that? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries at 6:28. We are adjourned.
Thank you.